Okay, let's get this started. Okay, hi, good morning. This is the Gunshy Patriots podcast. My name is Romel. I'm the only person here right now. I'm in my room. It's the morning, and no, I did not just wake up. I woke up a few hours ago. It is now almost 7 a.m. on a Sunday. School is coming back up. It's getting me nervous, excited as well. But before school started, I wanted to do one podcast before I completely disappear into, you know, getting busy with work and all the other responsibilities. And, you know, devote maybe about some time to round out the discussion we've been having about IMO in the first three podcasts. By the way, I'm going to name this the fourth podcast, even though this is not the fourth one to be recorded. We just haven't published some of the other ones. We're just going to work out the kinks on those momentarily. In the second podcast, in the first podcast, we were talking about IMO and what it is and the fact that it's island plus emo. Yeah, that's quite a good discussion. It kind of started the whole IMO thing. And IMO has been a project of the Gunshy Patriots / the Imaginary Friends for 7 years now. In the second podcast, we were talking a lot about emo and what it and how it kind of plays into, you know, into IMO, and we were discussing a lot of, you know, how emo has influenced IMO, and that goes without saying, right? And in the third one with Calvin, oh, by the way, the second one was with Matt. In this third one with Calvin, we were talking about how, among other things, we covered how pop goes into IMO. And you could probably see that from the selection of songs we did during the third podcast. So in this fourth podcast, I thought I should round out the discussion by discussing one of my major influences in music. And it's not, you know, and before you say the Beatles, okay, I was going to say the Beatles too, but at this point, I have a feeling that almost everyone out there who's performing music or writing music or doing something with music at this point is probably going to list the Beatles as an influence. So much so that it almost, you know, if it's influencing everybody, then what, I don't know how I'm going to add to the discussion by, you know, by opening my mouth. There's a lot of great stuff by the Beatles, and I still really like them as a band. And I'm kind of upset at them as a songwriter or as a person who likes to write and compose music, because they really, when they plumb the depths of like what is possible with modern music, they just kind of took everything. You know, they were able to dream up all these new things. And really, when I try to write something, or I don't know how common it is of an occurrence for all of you people who like to write songs or to compose songs out there. Like if you dream up a song, like, oh man, this song is in my head and I'm writing this down, and you're saying in the back of your mind, you're thinking, man, the Beatles have probably done this before already. You know, that's what I mean. I mean, like, they've just run the well so dry, and they've left us with scraps. And yeah, I mean, the Beatles were so creative, and they certainly are entitled to the things that they've discovered and they've come up with, they've created. And so it's more of in jest that I say that. That I'm angry at them. So no, I'm not going to talk about the Beatles today. I'm actually going to talk about James Taylor. Wow, James Taylor is an influence. That's crazy. James Taylor started getting big in the late 60s, early 70s. He's a folk musician. He's a singer. He's one of those singer-songwriters that came out in, I don't know if it's in response to the Beatles, but like shortly after the Beatles showed that it was possible to not only write your songs, but also to be the one to sing them. Prior to that, the main paradigm for people who performed music was the people who wrote songs, and the people who performed the songs were usually different people. I can't. The one example I could give off the top of my head would be Elvis Presley, and okay, the two, Frank Sinatra, right? These were performers, right? But most of the time, they did not write the songs that they sang. Frank Sinatra sang a lot of songs that he's famous for, but very few of those songs were written by him. I don't know if he wrote. I don't know if he wrote any songs. He was probably capable of writing songs, but he's not known for the songs that he wrote. Elvis Presley, I could name an example. Hound Dog was not. No, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. Was not his song, but he became famous for singing that song. And so for a long time, the people who wrote songs and the people who performed songs were different people. Then along came the Beatles, who did all of their own stuff. It was all original, right? Now, please don't quote me on this. I don't know if they were the first people to sing their own songs. That to me sounds like, in this day and age, it just goes without saying that when you write a song, you would be the one to sing it. So it's very different from the way it was before that. And to me, the Beatles represent that shift from singing someone else's songs to writing songs and singing them, writing songs and then performing them. So James Taylor, right, is an example of a new kind of, I don't know how new it is, but of a new kind of person called a singer-songwriter. And so he wrote these songs, and he was a whiz at the guitar. He was a wizard at the guitar. He was a guitar wizard. And if you would hear him play, you would just instantly know that this was James Taylor playing. He's got a style of playing that just seems like he just knows how to work the guitar, right? And the way I discovered James Taylor was, was through my mom, right? She was a big James Taylor fan. I think she still is. So much so that one of my first gifts to her, there was a time when I was able to earn some money on my own or like save up or something, and I think her birthday was coming up, and one of the first gift I was able to give to her was a new James Taylor CD, and I think at the time it was new. The album was named October Road, and it came out when I finished high school. Yeah, I had some money and I was able to buy her that CD off of Amazon, which was a first, which was a lot of firsts, because that was, I think, also the first time I was able to order anything off of Amazon that was of any use. One of the songs on there, so we listened to it together. She was really happy to get it. We listened to it, and I kind of took a liking to it as well, right? But okay, so one of the songs on that CD is, I want to do it for you. I have my guitar ready. It's Caroline, I See You. It's a very short song, lyrics wise, but you absolutely have to hear it. When I heard the intro, it's the in you the intro of the song kind of reels you in. I'm like, oh, this is so interesting, and as it progresses, you're like, oh man, where is he pulling out those chords from? The chord progression for the intro was just so was just so beautiful. It was so mysterious, you know. It was like, if I were to compare it to a picture, it's like you were at the edge of like a lake, and there's a fog, and the sun is coming up, and since the air is heating up, the air around is heating up, the fog evaporates, and it starts to display more and more of the lake, you know, as the sun rises higher and higher, and until you get this majestic, like, reveal of the scenery, right? That's what the intro is like. And sadly, I have not yet learned how to play the intro to Caroline, I See You. So if you want to hear how the intro sounds, I suggest that you like look it up on YouTube, or get your smartphone and preview it on your App Store, or, you know, preview it on your music store or your iTunes or whatever. Do something in order to hear it. It's quite good. What I'm going to play for you is like the main part of Caroline, I See You. I'll try to sing it as well, I guess. Okay. Yeah, so by the way, this is Caroline, I See You by James Taylor. Caroline, I see you standing on the stairway, waiting for your bear there, handy on the landing, penny in my pocket, high enough to hold you. When I come back home to you tomorrow, you may well be angry, I'll for sure be hungry. Meet me in the middle, make it melt like chocolate, be my little baby. I take you down by the water some December morning, take you from your family, leave them with their longing, take you by your hand somewhere on the Caroline, I love you, though I'm late to say so, hesitate to tell you what will be your answer some December morning, standing on the stairway, Caroline, I see. What I really like about this song is how it opens like it began, right? The first verse says, Caroline, I see you standing on the stairway, waiting for your bear there, handy on the landing, penny in my pocket, high enough to hold you. And then he says somewhere there about, you know, some December morning. And then when he gets to the last verse, when he gets to the end of the song, it kind of zips back up and incorporates all those other things and kind of ties you off to a finish. And it's so beautiful how it was written. It has like a structure like a mirror, or like a hoodie zipping down and then zipping back up. It's hard to write a song like that. And to think that in all probability, this guy James Taylor just sat down and wrote this and probably had a sketch of this going for like an hour or 30 minutes and then kind of just refined it from there, right? It's genius. I really like this song, and is it my favorite song in October Road? Maybe. Also because it's very easy to play. Yeah. But my exposure with James Taylor does not begin with October Road. Actually, when I was in the eighth grade, for some reason I was not yet a songwriter, but I already knew how to play music. I didn't know how to play the guitar yet back in the eighth grade. All I knew was the piano. I hadn't discovered yet that even though I enjoyed singing, that I actually had an ability for it. You know, everyone has an ability to sing. I didn't discover that till much later. But singing was not one of the things I did yet. I thought that playing the piano was it for me. Actually, at that time, I also preferred instrumental music to music with lyrics. I was going through a phase. You know how it is, wouldn't you? when you get to be about 12, 13, 14, and then suddenly you come up with all these ideas of what you are, right? At some point I decided that instrumental music was for some reason better than music with lyrics, right? One of my teachers, I can't remember which specific teacher it was anymore. It must have been a music teacher or something. Gave me a cassette and like this packet, because there was a Scholastic, and you guys all know about Scholastic. They're the people who do the book sales and stuff to get people to read and make some money in the process. Scholastic. They do the order forms that everyone gets in English class. And I remember have fond memories of like paging through those Arrow tab books. Scholastic, taking a look at what books or computer programs to buy. It was good. It's quite good. So Scholastic was sponsoring a songwriting contest, and my teacher, my music teacher, maybe it was my English teacher. It's possible. He or she, I can't remember, right? Gave me a songwriting contest packet. It had the instructions. It also had the form where you would write your song, and then that's where you would send it, all the envelopes and everything that you need. It also included a cassette, and in the cassette was a picture of James Taylor with his hat on, right? Because he was the celebrity songwriter that was the face of that songwriting contest. If anyone out there took part or is remembering the same thing I did, this was way back in 1997, 1998, when I was in the eighth grade. Probably just gave away my age there, but that's okay, right? So if you're remembering the same thing, then by all means, right? We were both in that moment. That was my first exposure with James Taylor, and of course. In the beginning of that tape, and I think I still have that tape. I don't know if it plays. You know how tapes deteriorate. But in the beginning, he talks about writing from what you know, and the best songs are the songs about things that you were familiar with, things that you're comfortable talking about, and in the cassette also, in the cassette tape, were some songs, right? And I really enjoyed a lot of them. And I showed it to my mom and said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know these songs as well. Yeah, I'm a big James Taylor fan, said my mom. And so I think one of my favorite songs from that tape was Shower the People. For a long time, like in high school and Yeah, probably beyond, right? High school, probably beyond. The message of Shower to People was my was I adopted it as my personal philosophy, right? I don't know how successful I was in applying that philosophy, but I always thought that the message of Shower to People was my words to live by. Yeah, again, I don't know. I don't know how I don't know how successful I became in applying that philosophy, but I think what it made me what it turned me into a kind a certain kind of person. It didn't I can't really point into certain things that I did in response to hearing Shower to People, but I do know that it made me a hopeless romantic, right? I just I had I had a very idealistic idea. I had a very idealistic outlook on love, and that was yeah that was a time of my life, huh? And I had that. I had probably that worldview. Well, I would argue. Well, some of my friends would probably argue that I still have that worldview now. I'm not so sure, but I still really like the song, and I still really admire the message of it. And I wanted to sing it for you. Let me see if I could pull it up here. By the way, I don't know these songs by heart. Caroline, I See You, I could probably learn that. I just haven't, right? Shower to People is kind of a longer song because it's got a message to give to you. So I'm looking at lyrics here just to destroy some of the magic that you might probably be experiencing. But yeah, I'm looking at lyrics here. So this is James Taylor again, Shower to People. You can play the game and you can act out the part, even though you know. Oh. Okay, let's start that again. You can play the game and you can act out the part, even though you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing the fool? One thing can lead to another, it doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother and sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna work out fine if you only will. Do as I say. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be much better if you only will. You can run, but you cannot hide. This is widely known. Tell me what you plan to do with your foolish pride when you're all by yourself alone. Once you tell somebody the way that you feel, you can feel it beginning to ease. Think it's true what they say about the squeaky wheel, always getting the creaks better. better to shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be just fine if you only will. What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them the ways you feel. Things are gonna be much better if you only will. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Make it rain, love, 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 the sunshine, oh, oh. And it just keeps saying, shower the people you love with love, right? Oh, it's just wonderful. And, again, my attempt to play and sing this at the same time for you is only an approximation of how good the song is. If you'd like to hear a version of this with less fail, just look up James Taylor, Shower to People. It's just such a feel good song. It's such a beautiful message as well. Show them the way you feel, right? Things are gonna work out fine if you only will. And as I'm singing this, it strikes me how hard to actually follow that message was. I mean, think about it. Think about how many times you've had the opportunity to help someone else, right? Not because you were going to get something out of it, but because, you know, you truly felt like you should, because you loved them. And that really, the sheer difficulty of doing that was, I think, one of the reasons this song was written. Right? Because it's so, you know, people tend to believe things. I heard somewhere, and nowadays, whenever I say I read somewhere or I heard somewhere, that place is probably Reddit. as probably some of you could sympathize. But I read somewhere that when people are much more inclined to believing something if the thing that they heard rhymes, right? So making lyrics for music is very powerful, because it makes your message stick a bit better than if you just said to someone, you know, you should really take care of the people that you love. You know, someone says that to you and you're like, okay, maybe I will, right? But then when someone says, shower the people you love with love, show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be much better if you only will. Then it's different, because now you're saying, oh man, this is a song that I could sing to, and your natural instinct is to follow along and sing along, and it makes you remember it better, right? And yeah, I could see the truth to that. Yeah, I could see the truth to putting something in verse or putting something as a song lyric and having more people believe it, or having a higher chance of being accepted. That's why they play a lot of music in church. They probably hit on something very important there when they started singing in church, right? Yeah, so this song, Shower to People, I first heard on a cassette tape that was part of a songwriting contest package. Sad to say, though, I didn't enter the contest. I kind of just said, well, yeah, it's nice, but I can't enter a songwriting contest because the only thing I knew how to, at that point, the only thing I knew how to compose was like straight up music, and I had no idea what to write about, I think, at the time. So, but I did keep the James Taylor CD, not CD, cassette tape. It's in here somewhere, and I'm probably gonna dig it up and put the cover up on our Facebook or something, just so it could jog some people's memories. Yeah, that was a good song. There were other songs in there, and you know, back when Napster and downloading MP3s versions of the songs that you like started blowing up, and yeah, I was there. I was part of it. I not all of the music in my in my library at that time was legitimately gotten. Yeah, some of the first songs I downloaded were of James Taylor. Were of James Taylor songs. Alright. Well, I was gonna do three songs for you today. And I wanted to end with... Well, I'm not gonna end with this one. I actually wanted to sing us one more song after this third James Taylor song. But you know, in the songwriting packet and in October Road and in all the other times I've been exposed to James Taylor, I gotta say that there was one song that was like, apparently James Taylor was really famous for, but I never heard it until maybe a few years ago. And the song is Fire and Rain, right? And you're probably, people, the oldies out there are probably thinking, Romel, how could you have never heard Fire and Rain? That's crazy. That's like his most famous song or something. Okay, that might be true, but I was never exposed to it. You know, as I said, I didn't seek it out, right? I mean, that was not part of my exposure to James Taylor. For some reason, though, recently, this song is like hitting me really hard could I say this is IMO? I don't know. Yeah, this is probably a pretty emo song, James Taylor song, Fire and Rain. It's about getting used to the idea of having someone in your life, but then at one point there's a clean break and now you're without that person. And just, you know, even before you could be sad, there's that feeling. And the feeling is perfectly, I think, I don't know, in my opinion, this feeling is captured in the song Fire and Rain. You know, everyone goes through their own fire and rain scenarios, right? There's just so much stuff that could happen to a person. I mean, I'm thinking about myself as well, in this case. You could have probably guessed from calculating when I got that songwriting packet from the second song that, you know, I'm in my late 20s. And, you know, when I look back, there's just so much stuff that happened to me, right? And so much stuff that I did in response to the things that happened to me, that it's so hard to, that's just so hard to process. So many things that, oh my gosh, I could have done this better. Or I could have done this, like how crazy was that? Or how sad was that? And your life just builds up these experiences, right? But throughout all of that, you have to have your constants, things that you fall back on, right? And I don't know. I haven't had anything to fall back on in what seems like a long time. I mean, of course, there's always my family, right? There's always my church. There's always God. You could always fall back on, right? That stuff's never gonna go away. You know that's true. You could always go back, right? So what I guess I'm cheapening my own speech by saying that. What I'm saying is, on another level, there are things that you think that you would never do without. And then when you realize that it's gone, when you realize that actually it was not with you all along, that's a very sobering thought. And, you know, I mean, and then it becomes your choice to be sad about it or to be like, okay, we'll work through this, right? I'm certainly not saying that you shouldn't be sad about people or things leaving you. I mean, you're very much entitled to be sad. I mean, that's one of the ways you push yourself to get better. And if nothing else, you know, you've earned the right to be sad. I mean, that's your own experience, right? That's how you view it. But yeah, that feeling. It's that feeling you get when you realize that the carpet, or the, not a carpet, that the rug has been pulled out from under you, and you feel like where there used to be something, now there isn't. Yeah, I've experienced that quite a few times. By the way, isn't it funny how quite a few means many? Yeah, for many times, how things just fall through your fingers and you didn't have time to appreciate it, or you did and that makes it probably just as bad, because then you miss it right away, right? So to me, that's what Fire and Rain is about, by James Taylor. And yeah, he wrote this as a very young person as well, maybe in his 20s, I don't know. I'm pretty sure 20-somethings have felt like this since time immemorial, and James Taylor was able to capture that, bottle it, and put it into a song, and for that I'm very grateful. And it's happening like recently as well, so I felt like this would be a good third song. James Taylor, Fire and Rain. I think I forgot how to play this. Oh, that's okay. We'll just wing it. Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You've got to help me make a stand. You just gotta see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand, and I won't make it any other way. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days, but I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Been walking my mind to an easy time, my back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line, talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines lay in pieces on the ground. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you, thought I'd see you, fire and rain. Now that I'm looking back on it, that's my 20s right there. that's a lot of that. It was a lot of that. But I do like the second to the last line of the song. It says, there's just a few things coming my way this time around now. And it tells you that no matter how much, you know, like people, things leave you, how much you have to leave things that you care about, I mean, there are other things going on your way. You can't make your deathbed confession, or you can't make your deathbed confession if you're not yet at your deathbed. Like when you're the bed you sleep in is not your deathbed. It only becomes your deathbed when you die, right? So you should always assume that life's gonna go on. And that's a part of this song that I'm just noticing right now. That you can't say that a certain bed is your deathbed until you die in it, right? So unless you were planning your death, then you should plan on being alive. You know, you should plan on getting experiences, getting things that you would miss if you were dead, right? Yeah, and I guess that's a good thought too. You should, I mean, you know, like a lot of people complain that so many people leave all the time. And yeah, that's true. People do leave all the time. And you miss them. But that's actually a good thing, because, you know, if you didn't miss them, then what do they mean to you, right? You should mean something to other people, and other people should mean something to you. That should go without saying. Yeah, wow, that's crazy. So I thought I'd end this, but okay, so of course this is the Gunshy Patriots podcast, and how would this retrospective of James Taylor songs help us in any way? Well, I thought I'd end this by singing a song I think is inspired by James Taylor. And I guess I should... So I would pick an IMO song that for reasons that I would explain to you is inspired by James Taylor, right? And so I chose... I don't know how good this choice is, of course. I chose the song "If You Were You." "If You Were You" is, oh my gosh. So let me take you to the time when I wrote the song "If You Were You." But first, let's pull it up, because even though I wrote the song, I'm pretty bad at lyrics. So yeah, but you wrote it. You should know it already. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'll learn it. But let me just pull it up here. Okay, so I just pulled up the text file that has the lyrics for "If You Are You" on here, and at the top it says January 9, 2008, 4:40 a.m. And yeah, I think that was the day that I put it down on paper, and January of 2008, my whole family was in a hotel because we were celebrating the weekend of my parents' wedding anniversary. Now, I don't know how comfortable you get with other rooms, with hotel rooms, or rooms that are not your own bedroom. I thought I was pretty comfortable, right? But for some reason, at maybe 2 or 3 a.m., something like that, I woke up. What it was, we got pretty lucky. We had an ocean view room. I can't remember what hotel it was, but it was in Tumon. And we had an ocean view room. And when I woke up, I heard the ocean. Yeah, like the waves of the ocean from my room. I don't know if I was like dreaming it or something. I'm not sure. Now that I'm thinking about this memory, the balcony of the hotel room was actually pretty far from the shore. So I don't know if I'm inserting. I don't know if I'm inserting the sound of the seashore onto this particular memory. But let's just go with it, right? Maybe I saw it. Maybe I saw it and I thought of how it sounded. And I thought, wow. It put me into a contemplative mood. I was just thinking about, yeah, I think I was also thinking about like all the people that I cared about, right? And how very unceremoniously they left my life, right? And this song came out. I envisioned it like a postcard. Yeah, it would be the content of a postcard that you would write to someone. And It was very. I remember. Okay, so I have this thing where the really in songwriting, the good songs are the ones that you could put down in less than an hour. This probably took me more than an hour, but I was amazed at how fast the song came together. And this song doesn't get as much love as some of the other songs in our debut album, The Imaginary Friends, because it's the last song, and I that was by design. I wanted this to be the last song because it's about missing someone. You know, it's about wishing that they were still there, wishing that we could still interact with them, right? And I don't know. For so, I get the feeling, and I guess I'm glad that I'm by myself here. But I get the feeling that the other three members of the Gun Shy Patriots, or you know, or whoever is there, with inclusion of Ryan, right? They're not saying this is. They're not saying that this is not an IMO song. That's not what they're saying. But they're. This is not. This doesn't stick out for them as IMO, right? Or this doesn't stick out for them. Yeah, with regards to all the other songs that we do, but this is my absolute favorite song from the debut album, and mainly because of how simple it is. You could probably learn it by the time I've finished singing it for you. So yeah, I'm gonna play you the song "If You Were You," by Gun Shy Patriots, written by me. I forgot to talk to you about I forgot to talk to you about how James Taylor fits in here. But it mirrors, right? It mirrors what he says in Fire and Rain. It's like I guess I was also trying to capture that feeling of like, oh my gosh, you're gone. And not having a lot of ability to do anything about it. So just trying to accept it, but at the same time wishing that they were still there. You could have probably told from the previous three songs that guitar is not my first instrument. My first instrument is actually the piano. So sorry, well, sorry for the fails, right? But If You Were You was written for guitar. There's something about how it sounds on the guitar that just makes it. I don't know. I mean there are things that you could play, and I've believed this for a long time that any song can be played on the piano. I mean that's true, right? I mean because it's got all the keys, so any piece in Western music could be played on the piano. But there's just a different sound to playing the guitar. There are not as many notes available to you. And you have to approximate things, right? And the way the strings are arranged and how they're tuned and how the chord shapes look, and really lends like a guitarness. Guitarness, that's a new word. Lends a guitarness to the song. And I think If You Were You on the piano, even though yeah, the rest of the Gun Shy Patriots would have me do piano for all the songs, right? If we had it available. If You Were You is one of those songs that you have to play on the guitar. You just have to. So James Taylor kind of figures in that too, because James Taylor was one of the people I look up to in regards to playing the guitar, and how it just seemed, you know, it seemed so easygoing. But then when you actually try it, it's so hard, right? So this has a lot of, well, to be fair, I stay at the very end. I stay at the very end of the fretboard near the head all the time. First three frets is where I'm at. But this is one of the first songs that I wrote for picking guitar instead of just strumming the chords. So I wanted to play If You Were You for you. This is by Gunshy Patriots. It appears on our The Imaginary Friends album. If you were a star, you'd twinkle with all your might. When the sun sinks beneath the sea, if you were a cloud, I know you'd rain on me. As soon as I put on my Sunday best. But if you swaying in the breeze. If you were the sand, you would be hot by day, but you would be cool with me by night. But if you were you, I wish you. If you were the wind, you'd blow across my face, so that you could dry my tears away. If you were a letter, I would write you down, telling you all I meant to say. But if you were you, sing my song, and I could play your tune. But if you were you, I wish you were here. You could sing my song, could play your tune, and I could play your tune. I could play your tune, and I could play your tune.
Yeah, so that was If You Were You. And I think I wrote this song and I realized that I realized that we could do an album. I think it was at that point that we said, yeah, The Imaginary Friends should have an album out. And the rest is history. Actually, that album, if you have it, you're going to notice how rushed it was. We recorded all in one night. And the reason we recorded all in one night was because Ryan, our bassist, he had to leave the island like the day after. The day after the day after. And yeah, that was just a tiring but quite a fulfilling session for all of us. And If You Were You was actually not the last song recorded, but it was the second to the last song. I will try to make these songs, including the James Taylor stuff, available on our SoundCloud and our YouTube. And so you could have a listen to them again if at your leisure. Thank you once again for sharing this, I don't know, 45 minutes? Yeah, we were able to do 45 minutes or so for this podcast, I think. Thank you for sharing it with me. If you'd like to know more about the imaginary friend / the Gunshy Patriot / whatever you know us as. In fact, one of my friends, Tim, called us Tropical Depression. And I was like, oh man, that was so perfect. But, you know, we're all into the branding now, right? If you'd like to know more about us, visit us at facebook.com/gunshypatriots. Follow us on Twitter at gunshypatriots. We have a MySpace, myspace.com/gunshypatriots. And listen to our podcast. Subscribe to this XML. Subscribe to this feed to get not only the latest Gunshy Patriots podcast, but also the ones previous. As I'm pretty sure some of you would do. Once again, sorry for the delay. We would next week. I don't want to say next week because next week school is already starting, right? but we'll try to get one more podcast with probably all three of us. That would be a good one, I think. Matt, Calvin, and me. We'll see if we could make that happen in the next week or so. Once again, thank you for listening so long, and hopefully you have a good day. Goodbye, wherever you're listening. All right, I know how to shut this thing off.